Trumos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey, 6-5. We've said that if one inadvertently eats Truma, he has to repay what he ate, adding a Chomesh, but actually he has to almost reconstitute that Truma. That is to say, I invoke this image of conservation of Truma, if you will, that you can't lose it. So if Truma is destroyed, you have to get new Chulin Musukanim, regular food that is fully tithed, and pay that to the Kohen, and upon giving it to the Kohen, it becomes Truma Midoraisa, as well as the Chomesh payment becomes Truma Midoraisa. And that's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'nasan l'Kohen es ha-Kodesh, you'll give back to the Kohen that which, I'll call it now, becomes Kodesh, becomes sanctified again as Truma. But the drush on the pasuk is that, of course, I don't know, of course, but the drush is that it's es ha-Kodesh, you give him the sanctified food, food that is ra'ui lios Kodesh, food that is fitting to become sanctified as Truma, meaning food that in its history was the kind of food that could have become Truma, let's call it, but instead didn't, of course, it became ostensibly chulin, just regular tithe food. So our Mishnah here is going to list a number of foods, meaning legal statuses of foods, which would render such food ineligible to be used as the payment to replace Truma and add the Chomesh when one ate Truma b'shogeg. So the Mishnah starts out by giving a list of four types of foods, four categories of food that never were eligible for tithing at all, and therefore they could never become Truma Gedola because they never had the liability to Truma at all. The first three are the Matanas Levionim, the gifts to the poor that are left during the harvesting process, and those are exempt from tithing, meaning when a poor person who's allowed to come take these things, he doesn't have to tithe them, he eat them as they are. And that being the case, they were never eligible to become Truma, and therefore they're ineligible to be given as the compensation for one who ate Truma inadvertently. So that would mean, just to paint the picture so you get it, we have a poor person. He accidentally ate Truma. Now he has to pay back Karen Vachomish on the Truma he ate. What has he got in his pantry? He has the gifts that he collected out in the field, the gifts of the poor. So that stuff is exempt from tithing, so we can't give it to a Kohen now to make compensation because those foods are ineligible to ever become Truma. Instead, what you'd have to do, hypothetically, is go to the store, buy some, you know, if you ate grapes, you have to buy some more grapes at the market that are tithe grapes, and then give those tithe grapes to the Kohen as his Karen V'chomish payment. He couldn't use the gifts he collected himself, and because those are ineligible. So those are the first three. So the Mishnah says, Ein Mishalmin min haleket, umin hashicha, umin hapeya. One cannot pay his due to recompensate and reconstitute Truma and Karen and Chomesh with Leket, Shech, or Peah. Again, those are gifts left for the poor, and they're exempt from tithing always, and therefore they aren't Ro'i Lios Kodesh. But are they're not fitting to become, they don't fulfill the requirements of the drush of the verse, that they're the kind of foods that could become Truma since they were forever ineligible to be Truma. So what are these things? Just to remind you, Leket is the stalks that fell when one was harvesting the wheat. If one or two stalks fall, they must be left behind for the poor to collect. Shicha were the forgotten or overlooked bundles. When one, you know, makes sheaves, he binds together the stalks of grain in the field. He'll then ultimately take those little bundles and bring them to the threshing floor. So in the stage when he's bringing things to the threshing floor, if he overlooks one or two bundles, he has to leave them behind. He can't go back and get them. There's a prohibition for going back to get them. They're left as shicha, as forgotten bundles, and the poor people could come to collect them. And finally, peah. Peah is the edge of one's field that one is to leave behind. Midrabbanan, you're supposed to leave a 60th of your field under normal circumstances unharvested, so the poor can come and harvest the corners of your field, the corner of your field that you left as peah. So that food also, the peah that is collected, is exempt from tithing. And that being the case, those foods, like a chich and peah, can't be used to recompensate when one inadvertently ate truma. The fourth item on the list is also similarly forever exempt from tithing requirements, and that's hefker. I mean a hefker. Hefker is ownerless property. You'll recall we've seen that to be subject to the tithing requirements, it has to be nishmar, cultivated by human beings, foodstuffs for human beings. And if it's just left, if it's just growing in the wild, not owned by anybody, so then it's exempt from tithing requirements always, meaning if a person just goes into the wild and finds himself a wild fig tree, he can eat those figs and never needs to tithe them. That's hefker. The truth is that's the primary case of hefker. There's a secondary case of hefker, which is if a person actually cultivated a fig tree, but he declared the figs ownerless prior to the requirement to tithe them, And whenever that kicks in, we'll see in the next Masechta and Maaseres. But in meanwhile, since he, if he was mafkir, if he rendered these figs ownerless prior to the requirement to tie them kicking in, so then they're forever exempt from tithing. That's like a secondary case of hefker. Okay, so that was the first four. Now we have a list of three more categories of foods. These are foods that went the other direction in the tithing process, meaning instead of, they were set aside as other kinds of tithes, if you will, or they otherwise were invested with some kind of sanctity. So we're going to have a machlokas here between Reb Meir and the Chachamim regarding these. The truth is, this mission becomes very challenging because it's not perfectly clear at all exactly which items are on Rabbi Meir's list as being ineligible and which items are on the Chacham's list of yes being eligible. So we'll do our best here. And I guess we'll learn like the Bartanura primarily, as that's always the way we do it. But it's not pashut at all how it works according to him. In any case, we start out by saying that in addition, velo min ha-maiser rishon, shnit le-trumaso, you can't use maiser rishon that had truma taken from it as a truma payment to compensate for consumed truma that was eaten b'shogeg. So what's the case? The case is a person took after he took truma, he then takes his maiser rishon, his 10% tithe, which is given to the Levi. Now, that's what we're talking about. The 10% given to the Levi, that can never be used as compensation to make whole if one ate truma inadvertently. Let's say the Levi ate truma on accident. So what's the Levi supposed to do? Levi gets his 10%, and he will take a tenth of that 10%, which would effectively be 1% of the original amount, basically, and he will give that as trumas meiser to a Kohen. The other 9/10 of his meiser is left behind for him to eat, and it's regular, you know, I'll call it chulin. Regular chulin. Now the Mishnah here says that those 9/10 that are left behind, the Kohen's Miser, which has been tithed, meaning Truma has been taken from it, it's still ineligible to be used as a compensation payment for Keren V'chomish. The Bartanura says the reason why is because essentially once it was ineligible, it's always ineligible. So since it was set aside to be Miser, and when it was Miser, it was like Miser with Truma embedded in it, and that's not Mesukanim, it's not tithed fully at that point, and it'll never be tithed fully. It'll never be eligible, even once it is, you know, have all the requisite tithes, meaning Trumas Meister removed from it, it will never still be eligible to be used as a compensatory payment. So that's the Bartanura's pshat again. The question that's embedded that all the Mefarshim grapple with, and the question may be better than the answer is given, and therefore I'm gonna sidestep, leave it as a tzarach ian, leave it as a, you know, you can look further as you wish, but I'll just speak out the question. The question is, it seems hard to understand the exact difference between regular tevel, you know, food that you harvest that's subject to tithing requirements, that becomes tithe when you separate the various tithes, and now it becomes chulin musukanim, which is eligible, and meiser rishon, which also, once you take out the trumas meiser from it, becomes fully tithe. It's hard to see what the difference is. Both of those things are now edible by anybody, if you will, And that being the case, it's hard to understand the difference. I mean, there are many, many approaches, depending on how you understand the restrictions on Meiser and the status of Meiser and if there's sanctity invested in Meiser, etc. I'll read you the Bartanura's Peshat and we'll stick with that for now. So he acknowledges the problem that it seems that fully tithed Chulin seems to be kind of the same as fully tithed Meiser. And then therefore he says, V'afagav da hashta havi k'chulin musukanim, even though now the fully tithed maaser really is the same as fully tithed chulin. Kevan de kodem should not let trumaso. Since prior to taking the truma, meaning the trumas maaser, from the maaser rishon lo chazi, it wasn't fitting to be used as a compensatory payment. Hashanami lo chazi, it remains forevermore inacceptable to be used as a compensatory payment for eating truma inadvertently. Okay, that's. Leave it at that for now, and you can look further to see the many different approaches to how to resolve the difference between fully tithed Meiser and fully tithed Chulin. Okay, the second on the list is Meiser Sheni, that was Sheniftu, that was redeemed. That is to say, what's Meiser Sheni? Meiser Sheni is the second tithe that's taken, meaning after Truma Gadol and after Meiser Rishon is taken, there's another tithe taken in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. You take Meiser Sheni, as opposed to years 3 and 6, when it's Meiser Ani. And then Meiser Sheni is still eaten by the original owner of the produce, just he is restricted to eating it in Yerushalayim. It's a mamon gavoa, according to Reb Meir, and this is Reb Meir is talking here, meaning it's really like God's food, if you will. Just he invites you to sit at his table, so to speak, and participate in Yerushalayim and eat his food as Maaser Sheni. But the point is, it's invested with a certain kedusha, and that being the case, it becomes ineligible to be used as a truma payment. Now, this is Maaser Sheni shenifdu; it was redeemed Maaser Sheni, meaning that it had the restrictions, but Maaser Sheni prior to being brought to Yerushalayim could be redeemed, and you could take the kedusha off this food and put it onto coins, and those coins could be taken to Yerushalayim and then used to buy foodstuffs over there in Yerushalayim. That would leave the food that had previously been Maaser Sheni and to be totally deconsecrated and essentially chulin. But similarly to the previous, on some level, similarly to the previous case about Maaser Rishon that was fully tithed, and Maaser Sheni at one point was, you know, invested with this kedusha and was ineligible to be truma payment, so it stays that way forever. And the third and final of this little list of restrictions is hektesh. Hektesh is anything that was given to the Beis HaMikdash and consecrated for its use. We're talking about Berek Abayas. You know, a person had some figs and he decided he wants to donate them to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash would receive those figs, and if they have no use for them, they would monetize the figs by selling them and getting the money to use for upkeep of the building, or they could use it for feeding the workers directly, whatever the case, whatever they wish. The point is, it's imbued with a kedusha, and one may not misappropriate in any way the hektish, the figs that have been sanctified, once he says these are for the Beis HaMikdash, and he's makdish them. So those figs could be redeemed, meaning the person who, when the Beis HaMikdash monetizes their figs by selling them, someone's going to buy the figs, and the money that he uses to buy the figs will deconsecrate the figs, rendering the figs totally edible by the purchaser as deconsecrated regular figs, and then the Beis HaMikdash gets his money, which is invested with the kedusha. So similarly, you can do pidyon, you can redeem the kedusha off of hektesh, if it's a Berek Abayas hektesh, and that's the case here. So these, in our fig story, if a person went to the Beis HaMikdash, he bought figs from the Beis HaMikdash, deconsecrating them and getting them for consumption. If that man inadvertently ate truma figs, he would have to pay back karen v'chomesh, but he can't use the figs that he bought from the Beis HaMikdash as hektish to make that payment. And the reason why is, again, because it had been invested with a kedusha, which, at least according to Reb Meir, can't, once it's there and making it ineligible, it remains permanently ineligible. So just let me read the words to you. I didn't read them exactly in the order that I read. The Mishnah reads, V'lo m'maiser sheni v'hektish sheniftu. You can use neither maiser sheni nor hektish that had been redeemed. Okay. And the Mishnah actually says the reason why these are ineligible, she'ein hektesh poda es hektesh, because that which is or was consecrated as hektesh and sanctified can't be used to deconsecrate hektesh. And while that is the sheet of Reb Meir, the Chacham disagree. They are matirin be'elu. The Chacham say, yes, you may use these. Now, when we say these, it's a big machlokus in the Mefarshim, which of the previous list the Chacham are coming to address. According to the Bar Tanora, the Chacham are specifically referring to B'maiser Sheni and Hektesh Sheniftu, meaning just the last two items on the list, those which were explicitly Hektesh, as Maaser Sheni and Hektesh, and then were redeemed. Others, however, extend the list back further, meaning the Chacham also permit the use of, in addition, Maaser, meaning Maaser Rishon, that had its truma taken from it. And there are even those who even go further back and permit the use of the gifts to the poor. In any case, we'll stick with the Peshat of the Bar Tanora for now. And the Lacha is certainly like the Chachamim, which is a question, of course, of which of the items on the list the Chacham do matir.